You know, when we do our wedding vows, remember that? Stand in front of the church. Can you go back there? And you look in each other's eyes and you think, wow, this is going to be fantastic. So I'm willing to say I'll be faithful in sickness and in health. Well, the stats show that when the sickness shows up, not so much. Many people bail out. It's a challenge. That's probably why it's in the vows, right? So what do you do when you have a loved one in your marriage, that's your spouse, and there's a chronic illness, or maybe you're the one with chronic illness? How do you deal with it? We talked about this about a month ago. We're back now to fill in some of the blanks and help you be intentional, because that's what it's about, how to be intentional when intentionality is required with chronic illness in marriage. Stay tuned.
From the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Our lines are open, 1-888-888-1717. That's 1-888-888-1717. Now, to help you be intentional for your marriage, here's Randy.
All right, thank you, Kurt. We're here at our center today revisiting a very important topic that just jammed our lines when we first introduced it on sickness and in health and the impact on marriage. When I read a statistic that about 50% of us are every day have some sort of chronic illness. Could be, you know, it could be something like asthma, or, you know, it could be chronic bronchitis, or maybe you wrestle with cancer or Alzheimer's. I mean, there's a, I guess, kind of a continuum from things that are less traumatic to those that are, well, very traumatic. But with 50% of people facing some chronic illness, you put that into a marriage, it creates a lot of stress. One stat I show that 75% of those who have a, you know, considerable serious chronic illness in marriage, the marriage fails. And you think about why. I mean, it's stress maybe you're in the midst of, and you can say, I can see why that happens. But we want to lift this topic today and hear the stories. We've got people lined up ready to share with us the stories of, you know, how do they handle it? What do they learn as in marriage and in their family in dealing with sickness and health in marriage? And I invited Greg Jantz to join me. Greg is one of our contributors here at the Intentional Living Center and Mental Health. He's the founder of the Center, a place of hope. And, you know, if you listen to Greg at all, you know he has a great heart for people and a great help through the Intentional Living Center. We're glad to have him be a part of it. So, Greg, welcome back to the program today.
Very good to be with you, as always.
Got a lot of callers we'll get to in a moment. What's been your experience? You shared about a month ago when you were with us that you faced this issue of chronic illness in your own marriage.
I did, and my wife went through a period. It's been over 5 years now, but where there was cancer, and the treatment for it lasted about 2 years. And during that two-year period, I have two boys, and everything changed. Mm. The roles in the family changed. We lived with uncertainty. We learned a lot about what illness does, and as far as emotionally. And so we went through a long time of just, how do we adapt? How do we function together? And even for my boys to ask questions, is mom going to be okay? How come this is taking so long? What does chemo really do? And so there's all kinds of questions. And I think we've got to keep talking about it. If we're walking through this, sometimes we isolate and we forget how important we really need each other.
That's right. We really do. And if we give up on each other, then we're giving up, I think, on what God can do in a miracle, not only in the possibility of a person being healed, but healing our own spirit. What do we learn? I tell people, don't lose the opportunity to learn through every experience, good or bad, because God is always teaching, training, and molding us. We have Shauna, who wants to join us in California. Shauna, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you. I love your program.
Thank you.
It's been so helpful and encouraging.
Well, thank you. That's why we're here. And sounds like maybe you can use some of that. What are you going through?
My husband lives with chronic pain. He's lived with it since he was 16, but over the last year, it has become significantly worse. He is no longer able to work. We've been dealing with doctors trying to just find some way to get help for him. And he's very young, so he's only 33, and it's difficult looking at that. And he goes through a lot of emotional, gets down. He gets very depressed and gets angry. You know, he's not getting help, and then he's not able to work. He's not able to be a part of the family or help me around the house. I've always pretty much taken care of things, but it's had to step up to another level.
And how do you deal with it? How are you dealing with it emotionally?
Well, the support group, a prayer. You've got to have somebody that you can let in. And I say let in because some of us are very independent and used to doing things on our own. Mm-hmm. But to find even just that one person that you can talk freely with about where you're at. And for me, that's my pastor's wife. She's a dear friend of mine and my spiritual mama. And I can go to her about anything. And prayer and praise, there is such power. And I can't tell you how many times I'm down on my knees crying to the Lord and just letting him wrap his arms around mm-hmm. me, because that's what I need. And just praising him through it. I stand on God's word. I know he has a plan for my family. I know he has a plan for my husband. And I just go, okay, God, I can't see the outcome right now, but I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. It looks scary, but I'm trusting you.
You have Shauna, your example. I mean, you're young people here. You're in your early 30s and this chronic illness and the what ifs. Last time you were with us, Greg, you talked about the what ifs, and I'm sure that Shauna has thoughts like that. Well, what if this goes on for the next, 20 years, 30 years? But she has the right attitude. The scripture says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And here's a young wife who's really telling herself the truth, God is in this. She's taking some very proactive, intentional steps. How important is it, not just to sit, but as a person who loves someone going through chronic illness, to be active in growing your faith and prayer and the kinds of things that Sean has talked about?
Yes, and I just, she's in a very difficult and awkward place, because we don't know what does the future hold. And with pain, a lot of times there's medication issues, and there's depression and anxiety. And sometimes we see what it seems like is personalities change, and it's like, wow, who am I living with? What's going on here? And so there can be pretty significant depression, probably for both people. And again, we also, when we look at the whole fear, what if, we also need to look at what I'll call the why not. Well, why not? Let's try some new things. Let's always stay in the, we don't understand what the future is going to hold, but why not, with God's help, let's pray for wisdom, and let's begin to look at what are why not options. And for me, a why not option is there some things that can be done that maybe I'm thinking outside the box that don't really have a downside, potential positive side, and so they're a why not. Lord, show me the why nots. Why not? Give me the wisdom. So particularly as we know with pain, and there's more and more options that are out there, but we've got to stay in a mode of positive anticipation for the future. Because it's really easy to get real depressed on both sides.
Yeah, you got to keep that balance. If you're not intentional in keeping your own spirit and your own mental health, you can get sucked into whatever the chronic illness is in your own way. Debbie's on the line. Debbie, welcome to the program.
Hi. How are you, Dr. Randy?
I'm doing well. Thank you for your call.
Tells me here. I've been here for a while, but that's okay.
Well, thank you for waiting.
Wonderful to get in today.
What is it that you wrestle with this topic?
Oh, well, I've dealt with chronic illness most of my life, but it's gotten pretty serious the past 10 years. And my husband and I have been married for 23 years, and he has just been so wonderful through all the role reversals and mood swings and you know, the chronic pain, just trying to, he's always calm. He's just so patient. Mm. And I know that's from the Lord. And I'm really grateful that he has stood by me with those vows that we said to each other all those years ago.
Are you able to talk about feelings and how he's feeling when he's not maybe so up and positive about it? I mean, do you guys have good communication about what you're both facing?
Oh, we have excellent communication between each other. He's very calm. He's just a calm man. Even he's a Marine by training. He's been a Marine for 57 years now. And he's just very alert to what changes that are in me. I've had liver and kidney failure, and he just sticks real close. I mean, he's even retired now, and now our roles have reversed where he's doing more cooking. And the emotions, you get lost sometimes. You don't know who you are. And God just picks you up and dusts you off and puts you back on your path. And I feel socialness is very important. It's very important to be in church. We recently started going to our senior center here in Williams, and what a blessing that place has been to lift me out of depression. So I hated being depressed, but my health has just changed so that I had to refigure out who I was, really. And Bill's just been there right with me all the while.
That's fantastic. You know, I think Debbie, you bring up an important point, Greg. Sometimes you have the primary illness. It could be a physical illness like cancer or whatever. But then all of a sudden there's the secondary issue that shows up. All of a sudden there's depression. There's mental issues, mental health issues that show up in the family. And those should not be ignored because that's being exacerbated by the physical illness.
Absolutely. And I just love what she just shared was she had to rediscover who she was, and she reached out as walking with others probably who have gone through similar things. So this is, again, move out. We want to isolate. We don't see what the options. Sometimes we're embarrassed or there's shame, and we get paralyzed by that fear. But, boy, I just love what she shared about reaching out, and God had a plan.
Mm. All right. We'd love to have you join us. If you have a story you'd like to share on our comment line, you can call 888-888-1717 and press number 2.
My husband and I have been living with the challenges of chronic illness, three of them which are potentially life-threatening, for 42 years. When he heard that you had a program about caregivers, he was excited and wanted me to call you today and let you know several things that has helped him during these years. He said that the needs of caregivers are often forgotten, and that the fact that you are addressing them has blessed his heart. In the beginning, he found himself being anxious all the time, wondering if and when he was going to lose me, or when the next life-threatening situation would occur. He would claim Philippians 4, 6 through 9 about being anxious for nothing, but he said he had to make me promise that I would tell him when I wasn't feeling very well, so that he wasn't in a constant state of concern. He wanted to know the results of doctor's visits and tests is something we should be in earnest prayer over. This helped him to have less stress on a daily basis. Learning not to allow the chronic illness to control our lives also has helped him. We travel, we play, we have fun with family and friends, and both work at staying as healthy as possible. People have said, "Aren't you afraid to travel? What if you get sick?" If we would stay home when God gives us the opportunity and desire to have some fun, then the illness has won, and with God's help, it hasn't. We have also learned the value of laughter in life. Proverbs 17:22, a cheerful heart does good like a medicine. It also doesn't have any side effects. We watch funny movies, listen to Christian comedians. We laugh at funny things that have happened in our life and continue to happen in our life. It lifts our spirits and helps us to combat sadness and depression, which can occur. So we start our day out together, being thankful for another day of life, for all the things that we are grateful for, using our pain and suffering, those times of misery, to develop ministry. Your Intentional Living program has helped us to complete this project. Thanks. In closing, David asked me to share that illness truly is a family affair. May God continue to bless your ministry as you help many of us live more intentionally.
Boy, that's good. Thank you, Elisa. I mean, she obviously thought that one through. Sounds like she may even wrote her notes as she called to share, which isn't a bad idea for you to think about a journal where you're starting to keep some of your thoughts and your feelings and your emotions and your interactions in print and to look back. One of the things I do is journal. I have a stack of journals, and I spent a couple days ago, I sat down and started reading some of my thoughts from 2 years, 3 years, 5 years ago. And what I found, for me at least, is some repetition of some thoughts then I still have now that maybe I should have dealt with then, and I'm not dealing with them now. And so keeping a journal on progress and prayer and what you're learning and growing can be a very positive thing. You know, the Intentional Living Center, what makes, I think, what we do unique is that we recognize that there's no perfection outside of God himself. And so our journey is not one to be perfect, but our journey ought to be one that becomes righteous and holy and growing in our walk and relationship with Christ. And here's what we found. When you follow Scripture and you understand that God's got intentions for us, and as we follow those intentions in marriage and family and even in issues like health and so on, that he gets the glory. That's the ultimate goal, and we benefit from it. You hear the stories of people being intentional. That's what they are, and they're benefiting from it. We want you to benefit from it as well as you walk with Christ every day. I just want to challenge you and ask you if you would come and join us in this journey to be a part of this. And your gift right now to the Intentional Living Center would help us meet this need that we have going into these summer months to help us eliminate, to catch up with this shortfall. And we thank you for doing that over these last few weeks. But I want you to know right now, if you would come and join us with the best gift that you can for the ministry, I have a very special gift for you. Our friend Stormy O'Martin has written a book. She's written several, but one of them is The Power of a Praying Mom. She has a book on prayer for wives in marriage. This one is for moms, and The Power of Prayer for Your Children. And we want to get this to you from Stormy O'Martin, The Power of a Praying Mom, as she unfolds the process of prayer, the power of prayer, and how prayer can make your family and your life more intentional. And it's our gift to you when you share your best gift with the Ministry of Intentional Living right now. Or if you would like to join us as a monthly member, we'll send that to you as well. All you have to do is either call during West Coast business hours at 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717, and press number 4, or safe and securely go online right now to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. We're talking today here in the center about in marriage and about sickness and health, a vow that we made on the day we got married and the impact it can have on our family, in our marriage. I saw it in my own family with my parents and with my wife's parents. My dad in the last, 15, 20 years of life had cancer, 27 different surgeries, and to see the love between them for 60 years, the struggles they went through, the things that they had to deal with, but that example of faithfulness and love, and both of them are in heaven now. I can't imagine they look back and say, boy, I would have done it different. They would have done the same thing, I'm sure. And they were an example to us that when you make a vow, you keep it. It's not easy, but you do it, and you do it intentionally. And that's what we're talking about here today. And we have Greg Jantz joining us. Greg is one of our contributors. He's the founder of the Center, a place of hope. And we're talking about not only physical health, but also the impact emotionally and mentally that can have on our marriages. We've got some more people that want to join in. Greg, you ready to get back to some calls?
Oh, you bet.
All right, let's do that. We've got Aletha on the line from Michigan. Hi there. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Randy. This is Aletha Kinsler.
Oh, hello, Aletha. How are you?
Well, that's why I'm calling you. You just played a tape. I called in on the answering the line long time ago. That was me.
Well, listen.
Talking about my husband.
Then add to that. Add to how it's going.
Well, 2 years ago, I had another major surgery, and we're facing another challenge. My husband and I have been married 46 years, and our school of suffering started 6 months after we were married when I was facing a heart transplant and was given less than 6 months to live, and we're still here. So the great physician said, nope, that's not your time. Well, 2 years ago, another challenge happened where I had to have a high output ileostomy, and now, since I'm not able to absorb food just by eating, I have to every night have IVs and TPN, which is feeding through tubing, in order to keep weight on, and just a lot of other challenges every single day. And I think what we found so helpful is, like you've mentioned, support groups. We go to an ostomy support group, and when we get support, we're also offering support to others. And like I mentioned before, our misery, we've changed into a ministry, reaching out to other people.
Mm-hmm, you sure have.
The messes we've gotten ourselves in become a message. And I know some people, after God helped us through all these things, said you should write a book. And I talked to God about it, and I said, I'm not an author. I'm a nurse and a therapist. And one day as I was having a devotions, the thought came, you may not be an author, but I'm the author of all good things. Try it. So I sat down and wrote a book called Chronic Illness, Facing Its Challenges. And now when I'm well, now I'm taking care of myself again. I have to practice what I preach. Now when I'm well, I speak and teach about how God can help you through every challenge. And marriages, it goes up and down. You know, there's a verse that says he keeps track of our tears in a bottle. I think he keeps track of our tears in a semi. There's that many tears at times of crying and expressing. But I think when we're honest as Christians and share with others the struggles we go through, we can pray for others, and they can understand that we understand when they suffer, that with God's help, you can make it through anything here on earth.
You know, Aletha, you've been a good friend of the ministry for a lot of years and shared into the ministry and spoken in the lives of people over the years. And Greg, I think Aletha, you wouldn't know hearing her voice that she's going through everything they're going through, which really does come down. I guess I would ask you a question, Greg. What you deal with people, sometimes we're emotionally wired to move more in a negative direction. Does that make sense? I mean, we love the Lord, but our tendency might be to move in a negative direction. And then you hear Aletha, and you hear that she's chosen to move in a healthy direction. Sometimes we have to fight that tendency, that human tendency we have to move in a direction that's not going to be healthy for us mentally and emotionally.
Oh, yes, and so easy to fall into. And that was a victory story to listen to, so I'm smiling. You know, I was thinking a potential danger that we could be in is, as things change and there's disease and there's sickness, you know, at times intimacy, physical, emotional, even spiritual, but intimacy changes. And I think there's sometimes we need to be really careful. We may feel like we have unmet needs or feel a vulnerability, and it's easy to begin to look, even if it's just emotional needs, let's say, we start to look to have those needs met through somebody at work, somebody at church, and we begin to kind of move in a direction where we're looking to have unmet needs met. And I just want to mention that, because that can be a potential danger in all this as well.
Absolutely. Well, Aletha, I appreciate your call, and God bless you as you continue your journey, and keep in touch with us, okay?
One thing about intimacy, can I mention?
Sure.
As far as body image changes, I think my husband and I have had to talk very honestly about how I felt about myself, because with major surgery, that changing, I felt ugly and non-attractive. Mm. And he's been very, very helpful as far as helping me to refocus that it's not the body, it's the soul and the spirit. And he reassures me that I still do have a beautiful body, and I believe him.
Uh-huh.
But we have to work at that as a couple, and keep that part of our life alive and awake. And that takes work. It does.
It does take a lot of work, and that's
so
a good reminder.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah. And reaching it out to the other person and finding out what their needs are. And it's not only sexual, it's the emotional, it's the communication, it's the spiritual oneness, it's the openness with what our needs are being met and which needs are not being met. And if we can be open and honest with that, our marriage is in less danger than if we just deny it.
Mm.
Yes.
It's a great reminder. All right. Thank you, Aletha. I want to get Chris on here very briefly. Chris, I know you ask a really important question. If you could get to the question quickly, because I want Greg to address it. Go right ahead.
Well, there's a long line of people that are involved in this illness and affected by it. And my question is, whose needs take priority? The patient, the primary caregiver, the siblings, the children? Because everybody needs something different.
That's a great question. It really is, because everybody's going through their own pain with these things. Greg, what have you found as you work with people?
Well, I think we're back to everybody's needs are valid, and you said it so well, sometimes a little bit different. And so we've got to be careful where we're going to have those needs met. As a caregiver, I want to have support from others that's going to empower me, and I need some validation as well, that for just the struggle I may be going through as a caregiver. But I also know that I can't be the only caregiver, and so I may be the primary one, but we've got to involve others, and we've got to allow others to love us in the situation. So that is such a important to remember, because even if kids are involved, kids will have different needs.
Yes.
And this is where, you know, we had family meetings with everybody, and that was a point where we kept talking about things as a family, so that particularly with boys, sometimes they're slow, in our case, to put all their feelings into words. So we had to be very strategic and very intentional about having discussion around this and how everybody was doing, and looking at what was everybody's needs.
I think that's a really important point, Greg. And I would say to you, Chris, it's sometimes it's not that your, quote, needs are all being met. Sometimes it's just having the acknowledgement that others know that there's some needs that not being met, if that makes sense. And so having that family communication, being able to talk about how you're feeling, what you're experiencing, is an important part of the process. We've just scratched the surface. I want to thank you for joining us. By the way, there was part one of this program we aired about a month ago. If you want to listen to it in our archives, it was back on April the 12th, and it's available for you as well. I want to thank you, Greg, for joining us today here at the Intentional Living Center. God bless you for what you're doing. Appreciate your input and your participation in the program.
It's so good to be with you.
Thank you. Greg Jantz joining us. Greg is he's an author and speaker, founder of the Center, A Place for Hope, Place of Hope, and he's also a contributor here at the Intentional Living Center. Thank you for joining us. We'd love to have your feedback, your thoughts, and your input. Looks to me like next time we're going to be talking about singles, being intentional living for singles. If you're a single person, know a single person, have them join us. We'll be talking about that right here at the Intentional Living Center. See you then.